You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Churches is a trio from Glasgow, Scotland. In this episode, they break down the song Clearest Blue from their sophomore album, Every Open Eye. You'll hear the band's original demo, as well as why they start songs with a set of rules, but then quickly abandon those rules. This interview was recorded live at the Dropbox podcast studio at South by Southwest.
I'm Martin, and I play keys and stuff.
I'm Lauren, and I sing.
I'm Ian, and I also play keys and stuff.
We were trying to make a laid-back song, weren't we? I swear.
That's the thing about this band, though. We always like set out with rules. And then we're useless at sticking to them. Like the other rule for this song was, let's do a song with two chords. And of course, 10 minutes later, Martin's off on another, you know, with the minor. But we're terrible at sticking to rules, but that's, you know, that's the fun part, is like creating boundaries and then smashing them, you know?
You have these reference points and rules, as Ian says, and they're a great place to start in the creative process, a really important thing to have. Today we're going to try and achieve X, Y, Z.
And then you start to try and do it and it doesn't quite work out where you planned, yeah. But then you've got a different idea and then that's where you take the song.
It's a useful jumping off point. Like, you know, it always gets rid of the whole, you know, the kind of blank page syndrome where you're just like, oh, I don't know what to do.
So the rules were to make a laid back song with only two chords.
Yeah. Right. So it went well.
The very first thing is actually, it made the final record. You can still sort of hear it. It's like a vocal sample. Kind of goes, ear it. Runs all the way through the whole song. That riff itself, the keyboard was, it's two notes. You know, it's just octaves, just trying to write a really irritating riff, like really percussive and not so, well, less emphasis on melody and really focused on the interplay of rhythm. And as long as you've got like a hi-hat holding that down, being really, really rudimental and really straight, you can dance around the beat and it becomes a bit lighter and a bit more fun.
After the kind of basic track is down, like the chords or a beat or like a sample loop or whatever, is that we'll kind of like bounce ideas around between each other, just like kind of singing at each other, that sort of thing. And then really quickly, the bones of the melody starts to emerge. And then Martin kind of pulls it together a bit and like puts down a track of his own vocals, just kind of singing nonsense, just kind of silly words so that don't mean anything. And that kind of defines the kind of vocal phrasing and, you know, the basic shapes that end up in the final track.
That stuff is the first thing that comes into my head. Lauren really takes it to the next level.
Well, I take that demo and I go across the hall to write lyrics while those guys work on the music. So either I'll look through a notebook to try and find words that I've written, or sometimes there'll be a certain word that it sounds like Martin said, and then that's what I'll write off of. In the verse of the demo of Martin's vocal, there's a bit where it sounds like he's saying, like I always do. Like I always do. And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, that bit should repeat. Those two lines should come in couples every time in the verse. And that's kind of how that bit started. Like I always was, like I always was. And then it's not enough, not enough.
Like I always was. Like I always was. But it's not enough. It's not enough, not enough.
It's kind of interesting. Sometimes I'm like, this is my poetry I've written. And they're like, yes, but that vowel sound and that doesn't fit, or this isn't as percussive as it should be. So sometimes using the guide that's in there to think about the shape of the words and things like that, like what they sound like sonically, is helpful. Because I always go for what the meaning is. And it's helpful. I think the important thing for us is tying those two things together. You want it to mean something, but you want it to fit percussively and melodically as well.
The marriage of those things is absolutely everything. Like, that's what a hook is, where those things meet. Percussion, melody, and sentiment.
Whenever I feel it coming on, you can be well aware. If ever I try to push away, you can just keep me there. So please say you'll meet me. Meet me halfway.
I think at the time I thought I was writing a love song. I guess I have a tendency towards negativity and a kind of depressive nature sometimes. And I guess I often worry about how that affects my personal relationships or people around you. And, you know, if you're trying to figure out those kind of things, you don't really, sometimes that's really unpleasant to be around. And or you're just imagining it's unpleasant to be around and you're projecting that on other people. So I guess for me, I kind of was thinking about, you know, how people perceive that is what that is meant to mean, I think. And then just hoping, crossing your fingers, that it doesn't make too much of a mess. When I was writing it, it was kind of coming from the standpoint of wanting to believe in something and wanting to believe that it can be so, but not being sure if the surrounding circumstances will allow that to happen. To me, the phrase, we are tied to the shifting ground, is like circumstances constantly changing.
Tied to the shifting ground, like I always was.
I was trying to be hopeful. And it didn't necessarily come out like that. But I guess to me, that's, I like those kind of things that have light and dark in them. That's the stuff that connects with me because it feels more authentic, you know, rather than writing, oh my God, isn't it amazing? We all have these amazing people in our lives and everything's awesome. And I guess I was a lot more aware on the second record of how I want to communicate with my voice, I think. Weirdly, I found hand actions are very helpful to me for singing, and I didn't really think about it that much until I realized for certain parts of songs I do a lot of pointing, for certain parts I do kind of like chop actions, and there's a lot of fist clenching, or if I'm trying to do high things I'll for some reason put two hands on my stomach to, I guess, remind myself that I'm supposed to be like going from the diaphragm.
Shaped by clearest blue.
That's the climax of the song there, but the vocal approach is not trying to be super climactic and like punch the air, you know, it's mirrored in the lyrical content. The whole thing becomes more frantic and more frenetic at the climactic section. It's more like a moment of rest.
Shake, keep it half away by clear. Shame, will you keep it half away by clear as blue? Will you keep it half away?
There you go. Song exploded.
Thank you.
And now, here's Clearest Blue by Churches in its entirety.
By the clearest blue.
Visit songexploder.net for more info on churches, including a link to buy this track. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Song Exploder. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, story-driven shows. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.